Our second reading today describes part of a vision that the Apostle John has when he's in exile on the island of Patmos. And he records this, and we're reading from the final chapters of the book of Revelation. Revelation is not only the last book in the Bible, but it also reveals to us the dramatic conclusion of salvation history. In this vision, John sees the end of time and the beginning of eternity. And so for all of us, this is a preview of coming attractions. This is what's eventually going to be the fate of the entire human race that we hear at the end of Revelation. So it's a good material to reflect on, and I encourage you to read the last couple chapters. Revelation can be a little bit cryptic, but the last couple chapters are a little more clear. But in the second reading today, John sees this massive city, radiant, descending out of heaven. And so what's the significance of this city? Well, the name of the city is called the New Jerusalem. Jerusalem in the Old Testament was the capital of the nation of Israel. And that was the center of God's people. And that's where the temple was, where they would go to worship God. And so the New Jerusalem is not simply a physical city, but it's the city of God's people. The place where those who are blessed, you know, will worship and adore God for all eternity. And the city, we shouldn't view it simply as a physical reality, but as the saints are like living stones built up into this massive city. And so it says in the second reading that there's 12 gates. And on each of these gates is inscribed the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so these represent the Old Testament faithful, people who were faithful to God's covenants, like the prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, Samuel, and the countless unnamed people throughout the Old Testament who were faithful. And then the second reading talks about 12 courses of stone in which are inscribed the names of the 12 apostles. And so this is the church founded by the 12 apostles. And the apostles' names are written there, and each member of the faithful, as people are baptized and enter into the church, you know, it's like living stones being built up into the city. There's three gates facing in each direction, three north, three south, three east, and three west. This symbolizes the reality that God desires to draw all people into his church. And so people from every direction, north, south, east, and west. So the church is not something that's restricted to one particular class or one particular race of people. But God desires all people to come together into his family. And so it's meant to be a universal church. And another word for universal is the word Catholic. And the other thing that's emphasized in the reading is the beauty of this city. The streets are made of gold, and the city walls are made of precious stones. And this represents the virtues of the saints. And so what we're seeing as this city descends out of the glory of heaven is the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, the church in glory, the church triumphant, the victory of the saints, you know, all built into this one massive city, the church in glory. I want to reflect on one element of the church in particular, and that is the beauty of the church, the New Jerusalem. And that's, as I said, the virtue of the saints. There's a lot of things that are hidden in this life that are going to be revealed in the next life. You know, we cannot see the state of people's souls. You know, we don't know if somebody's in a state of grace or not. We can't see the virtues in people's souls. But everything that's hidden will be revealed in the next life. And so with the saints in the glory of heaven, they'll radiate the light of the glory of Christ. And we'll be able to see and perceive things that we're not able to perceive in this life. And part of that is perceiving the virtues of the saints. So an individual like Mother Teresa, you know, we'll not only see her physically, but we'll be able to see the light of God shining through her, and we'll be able to see the fruits of every act of mercy. You know, every time she took up someone dying in the gutters and brought them to a dignified place to die. You know, every time she showed compassion and mercy to somebody. You know, every time, you know, she spent hours in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, even as we know now, she experienced incredible dryness, but she still persisted year after year in her life of prayer. You know, we'll see these things revealed, and we'll see the beauty of her soul radiating forth. And so what's it going to be like to see this city descend from heaven? It'd be pretty overwhelming to see one saint like Saint Mother Teresa in glory. But what we'll see, you know, what this the book of Revelation is talking about is seeing the entire city of God descending from heaven. The angels, Saint Michael the Archangel, the leader of God's armies, Saint Gabriel. We'll see that our guardian angels. We'll see Saints Peter and Paul and the other apostles, Saint Mary Magdalene, Saint Francis and Saint Clare. You know, all these saints who have gone before us. You know, we'll see these saints in glory. We'll see the martyrs in white robes. We'll see the choirs of virgins. And the greatest of all saints, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Queen of the Angels. As beautiful as these virtues would be, you know, seeing the virtues of the saints, not only will we be able to see their virtues, but we'll also be able to see the source of all those virtues. We'll see the Lord God Almighty face to face, you know, the source of all the light that's radiating through the church. And if we think of how powerful it is, you know, that to experience eternal life and to know that it's the mercy of Jesus Christ, the fact that he has pardoned our sins, to be able to rejoice in his mercy forever, to know that he freed us from our sins, and every moment that the blessed rejoice in heaven is due entirely to the mercy of Jesus Christ. And we'll see that not only for ourselves, but we'll recognize that it's the mercy of our Lord and God that has brought every single person that's there in the glory of heaven. It's because of our Lord and his mercy that they're there. And so, you know, the glory of heaven is about rejoicing in the beauty, the mercy, the goodness of God, and that light radiating through all the saints and all the angels. And so, as we reflect upon this vision that John sees, perhaps a few things that we can take from it. The first thing to note is that there's no question who wins at the end of time. The victor is Jesus Christ. And his bride that he calls to be with him forever in heaven is the church. You know, there is no other Savior. There is no other God. There is no other religious leader that can save us. The victor is Jesus Christ. And to be a part of his bride, the church, is our salvation and our joy. I think the second point we can reflect upon is we shouldn't get discouraged by the darkness and the struggles that are around us in this world. And I think it's easy, especially if we're watching the news day after day and you see so much negativity, you know, so much anger, so much darkness. It's easy for us to start obsessing over these things and our minds become fixated just on the darkness and the negative things in the world. But there's a danger to that because we know who wins and it's not going to be the darkness. Jesus Christ is going to be the victor. He's the one who is going to triumph. And so we should be more focused on him and we shouldn't allow our minds to become obsessed with the darkness around us. And so too, we shouldn't get discouraged if we have to carry with us, you know, the struggles of this life, you know, the struggles to put food on the table, the struggles with our physical health, you know, when we see, you know, the direction our nation is headed morally. A lot of times people can get very discouraged by that. These worldly concerns one day are going to fade into nothing. These things that we spend so much time worrying about. And so I think it's good for us to reflect upon that and to realize that there's a victory that awaits us. And the darkness of this world is not going to triumph. And so ultimately, Jesus Christ is going to conquer that. And so we shouldn't allow ourselves to get discouraged or brought down by the things of this world. And perhaps the third point that we can reflect upon is ultimately the one thing that matters is whether our souls are in total union with God. In loving service to him. Every virtue that we build in this life, every moment that we spend in Eucharistic adoration, every time we receive the sacraments, every time we receive the Eucharist in a state of grace, all of it is absolutely worth it in light of what awaits us in the next life. And so I encourage us to reflect upon these words of Revelation, to look into the future and to see a preview of what awaits us in the next life, and to strive and to recognize that to be part of the New Jerusalem ultimately is our glory and our hope. And we pray that through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, we may persevere and one day rejoice with all the angels and saints in the New Jerusalem.